Mini-episode 76 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by First Down Scouting, delivering the most thorough scouting service available, uncovering the NFL stars of tomorrow. Follow them on the web at the number one, stdownscouting.com.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Okay, FDH Lounge mini episode number 76. Rick Morris here with good pal Mike Petak, longtime FDH Lounge dignitary, also chief motorsports correspondent. We'll be getting to that with a look at NASCAR in the next little mini episode here. But talking football today, specifically the Super Bowl this weekend. How you doing, my friend?
Doing good. How about yourself, Ricky?
Oh, doing fine, pal. Thanks. Looking forward to breaking this down with you a little bit. We did in our last mini episode also with our good friend Ken Palmer, who covers the New York Giants. Looking forward to getting your thoughts on stuff. You and I have done quite a bit of football talk on the airwaves previously here. Patriots, Giants this weekend. The big talk about the rematch from 4 years ago and all the weird parallels that it's in Indianapolis, the big rival of the Patriots over the last decade here, and also the home building, at least up until now, of the brother of Giants star quarterback Eli Manning. So all kinds of ghosts in the works here and different parallels and angles to it. Of course, the rematch from 4 years ago. I have to tell you, when the line first came out and it was Patriots minus three and a half, wherever it started, I was really shocked because I keep going back to this whole thing, and I guess I'm going to foreshadow where I'm coming from. A team with a defense this statistically bad has never won the Super Bowl, so I was shocked. What were your thoughts? What did you expect when it came out?
That number really didn't surprise me. I thought it was a fair number.
Okay.
Because they're looking at New England has a superior offense and an inferior defense compared to the Giants, and the first thing everybody's going to look at is that offense.
Okay. Well, you got that as a possible angle, and I understand that. But you've also got, when it comes right down to it, with the Giants, with everything that happened with going up to Green Bay and winning that game, you a lot of times have the public that gets so enamored of they've assumed the magical, mystical powers of this 15-1 team. They beat them in their own building. They went up there and got that done. So it didn't surprise you in light of that, the fact that they beat the Packers. Maybe not so much beating the 49ers, because it's not like they get a ton of respect from the public, but beating the Packers the way that they did, it really surprised me they didn't get more respect in the Super Bowl line.
Again, it's another thing is Bill Belichick.
Okay.
Say what you want about Belichick, especially being from Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he learned from his mistakes, but, you know, you get Belichick in a big game. You have Tom Brady, 16 career playoff wins. You know, people, you know, compare Belichick to Tom Coughlin. Neither one of these guys are exactly Mr. Popularity.
Right.
But, you know, when it comes to big games, nobody's been in more big games than Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
And I think that holds a lot of water.
That's true. And there is the personal angle and the extra motivation that somebody like the Hoodie is going to have in trying to avenge the Super Bowl loss from 4 years ago. And I get that. But it's a thing where it's really kind of maddening for me to try to figure out, when you're looking at this defense, because we talked about it with the Patriots. I mean, how does a Bill Belichick team have a defense like this? I understand they've been thinned by injuries, but I think anybody would have to admit that the personnel has not been the same since Scott Pioli went to Kansas City, and maybe to a certain extent Thomas Dimitroff going to Atlanta. I'm left to wonder how they could have been as bad as they were. And for as much as everybody's putting over Vince Wilfork for what he did against Baltimore, and he was huge, and everybody's like, oh, look out for Vince Wilfork in a Super Bowl, I'm also going, yeah, okay, he might not have been 100% for a good part of the season, but he was there for a pretty crappy defense that you could run and pass on pretty much at will. So have you kind of made sense of this in your mind yet, how this team could have such a bad defense?
I've been thinking about it, and you read all these interviews and you hear the interviews, and I think Bill Belichick has become completely enamored with offense, and he's forgetting what got him his original job,
mm-hmm.
what got him his gig, and that's being a defensive genius. He seems so enamored with offense that's the first thing, and they're seeing the holes in the defense now, and they're trying to address them with draft picks, but there's too many holes. So they're basically what they're trying to do is outscore people,
yeah,
and more specifically, outpass everybody because their running game has been really non-existent.
Yeah, and when you've got Julian Edelman in there, you shudder to think that he's going to be matched up against one of the big three Giants receivers here. It may not come to that. They may try to shuffle it so that he doesn't end up on one of them, but if that ends up being the case, methinks by late in the game, Bill Belichick would probably listen to Nickelback than watch Julian Edelman try to play it for another down.
You're right. It's. I'm really looking forward to this game, more so than I was 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be quite an entertaining game.
Let's talk about that part of it here for a second. Me and you being pretty hardcore football guys, this is a different kind of a game in the sense that this we'd had a column that was written for our blog by a fellow dignitary, Kyle Ross, who pointed out how much turnover there's been in the NFC over the course of the last decade here. I mean, almost every year it's a different team. You can count on one hand the teams that have not been in the Super Bowl in the NFC since 1998. That was the season, of course, when the Falcons made it. It was after that Packers run when this whole thing really started. This is the third time since then for the Giants. The Rams have been there twice in that period of time. Nobody else since the 98 season has been there more than once. Versus the AFC in the last decade, by and large, it's all Patriots and Colts and Steelers. So this is a thing where we've actually got a team on both sides that we've seen before. This isn't like Steelers-Cardinals where we have to kind of extrapolate. This isn't like Colts-Bears. I wonder how the Bears are going to do on this stage. These are the exact same two teams that were here 4 years ago. We just haven't seen this kind of familiarity in a game like this. I can't help but think it's going to carry over to the ratings probably also.
Oh, well, you have two of the largest markets,
yeah,
also as well. So, the NFL is, like anything else in sports, is ratings driven.
Mm-hmm.
And they like to see the larger markets in there. So when you have Boston versus New York, basically,
mm-hmm.
again, not only baseball but in football, that's going to draw ratings.
Not only that, here's another fascinating thing. When you look at the loyalty breakdowns of New York fans, and there are exceptions to every rule, there's cross-pollination, but by and large, your Jets fans tend also to be Mets and Nets fans. It tends to be older line, newer line, versus you have the Rangers. Of course, there's the Knicks also in the NBA, but there's a heck of a lot of bleed over Giants fans, Yankee fans. So this is Yankee fan, Red Sox fan in another sport.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's one more element that gets added to this also. Again, this is a thing here. When you look at it, the Giants defense also has been pretty piss poor for a good part of the year. They've been they were awful a good part of the season, and the secondary really in many ways continues to be. But now they've had the pass rush coming. You get everybody, when Tuck and Imanura and all the guys like that are good to go and complimenting a beast like JPP, all of a sudden that makes up for a lot of deficiencies there also. But really, the secondaries of both teams are liable to be exploited by these receiving corps.
Absolutely. And, you see the number that Brady's puts mm-hmm. up versus the number that Eli Manning puts up. But Eli has definitely a more balanced attack.
Yeah.
With the two-headed monster back there running the ball, Bradshaw and Jacobs.
Mm-hmm.
Belichick and Brady, they basically fall in love with the vertical game. And they pass the ball to set up the run, where the Giants more traditionally will run the ball to set up the pass.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, man for man, offensively, I think the Giants are better offensively. New England puts up better numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've done it against lesser competition. And Belichick's the type of person once he gets ahead, he's going to step on the gas and step on your throat. And that's where a lot of these numbers come from. They were some very gaudy numbers.
That's true. Yeah, that's a very good point. A lot of it came from laying real curb stompings on some teams. And when you're talking about offense, and you had alluded to the better offense, or at least maybe the better consistency of it, when you look at the Patriots, you know, I think the thing that really jumps out to me when you're making these kind of comparisons here, that through the course of the season, you got the old law firm there in the background, and also you know, some of the other guys who have been complimenting him in the backfield, but mostly Green Ellis, way more consistent than Bradshaw and Jacobs on the other side. And that's really been a huge issue, I think. Bradshaw and Jacobs have looked better in the playoffs, but through the course of the season, at various times, that running game was just brutal.
Oh, absolutely. But they were both dealing with injuries, either Jacobs or Bradshaw. You didn't have both of them back there at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now that everybody's getting healthy, they're really showing what they can do behind that offensive line.
Is that what it's coming down to, I think, to a large extent? We talked about the Giants' pass rush also. Is it a thing where both teams are, you know, of course the Giants are much better than their 9-7 regular season record, but how much credence do you put in that these two teams are the teams that are here at the end because had they been healthy all the way through, especially with the Giants? I don't think the Patriots were ever in a whole lot of doubt. They were the number one seed in the AFC, but do you put a lot of credence in that whole notion that if both of these teams were healthy, there would be probably not much surprise at all that they're the two teams that are here?
Excuse me, not at all, Ricky, not
okay.
At all.
Okay, so that's kind of the way I look at it also, too, with the Giants and with them being, again, back at full health. And not that it helps their secondary an awful lot. That's the one place they can still be exploited. But the one thing, and there's always an X-factor injury coming into the playoffs. It was Pouncey last year for the Steelers. What was he going to be like? And I think he ended up not really being good to go against the Packers here. This year it's Gronkowski, the guy who's the ultimate X-factor in this offense, the guy who compensates for the team not being able to stretch the field consistently, because outside of what Deion Branch gives you once in a blue moon, the Patriots are relying on basically more or less what happens inside of the hash marks. So if Gronkowski is not good to go, or if he's hobbled, and I think that's the likeliest outcome in this thing, is a Rob Gronkowski probably at about 80%. He was out of the walking boot, as I understand it, at media day. But what is a Rob Gronkowski at 80% if it comes to that? What does that do to the Patriot offense as far as their ability to spread the ball around and not have the defense key too much on any couple of guys?
Belichick is one to hide all the injuries. We know that from the past. I think an 80% Gronkowski still can be effective, but he also makes a great second option. I mean, Aaron Hernandez is no slouch.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're going to start with Wes Welker and work their way in. And I think Gronkowski, you know, he's still going to get – I think he got 10 targets last time against the Giants, and he caught 8 for like a buck and a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're not – you know, they're going to try to contain him. But, you know, Aaron Hernandez is no slouch at tight end either. So if Gronkowski is hurt, they have another option.
Some of it's going to come down to the game planning also, because I guess to whatever extent, I think the Giants put Kenny Phillips a lot on Vernon Davis. I don't know what, if watching the NFC Championship game, if you had the same thought that I did. But especially after what happened with New Orleans there. I'm going to go to my grave thinking New Orleans gave that game away. Because how many guys do you really have to respect in the San Francisco passing game? I'm sitting there yelling at the TV set, just double team Vernon Davis. So they tried to do it with Kenny Phillips. I don't know if past his prologue. I don't know if they try to put Kenny Phillips on Gronkowski or something like that. But if he's getting abused to that degree for the big plays like Vernon Davis did, it's not like he was hitting them all day long. He was just hitting them when it counted. I don't think that even an 80% Rob Gronkowski is going to be able to be stopped by Kenny Phillips.
No, he was, I hate to use the term, treated like a redheaded stepchild, mm-hmm. but he was. And given the choice right now, you know, who would you rather have, Vernon Davis or Rob Gronkowski? Nothing against Vernon Davis. He put up some great numbers, but Gronkowski put up record numbers.
He absolutely did. There's no question about that. An amazing season. 90 receptions, 1,327 yards. But what really jumps out at you, the 17 touchdowns. You mentioned Aaron Hernandez. I didn't realize until I checked the stat sheet here a second ago, too. 910 yards for Aaron Hernandez. I did not realize how close to a Gurr he was. So you got Welker at 1,569, Gronkowski 1,327, Hernandez 910. That might be the number that sums it up about as much as anything possibly could. Forget about having two guys over 1,000 yards. They got three guys combined that are well over 3,000.
Crazy numbers.
And that's without a consistent deep threat, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. You basically have Welker as your slot receiver, and you have two tight ends.
Absolutely just remarkable what they've been able to do. I'm looking for an aerial show, again, because of the quality of the offenses and the lesser caliber of the defenses, especially the Patriots one. As far as predictions go and looking at it here, Mike, I just keep coming back to, and you know I'm a big stat guy, and I tend to focus on these things. I tend to believe certain things until they're proven wrong. My belief is that a team with New England's defensive statistic numbers will never win a Super Bowl. It might be a fitting epitaph for the year that was of this incredible, unprecedented offense. In a way, it would be fitting if New England did win the Super Bowl and did overcome that. My sense is that they don't. My sense is that the Giants, with their renewed pass rush, have enough defensively to make it happen. I'm saying 34-27, G-Man. What's your sense?
I'm in the same ballpark. I'm 37-21 Giants.
Oh, okay, so you see them pulling away a little more towards the end?
Absolutely.
Okay, all right, very interesting. Well,
I know Belichick is going to be upset, but I see once the Patriots see that the game's getting out of reach, some of those egos are just going to let down, and they're going to allow the Giants to run the ball all over them just to kill the clock.
Well, that's very interesting too. I mean, I'm just looking at it in a vacuum of what I expect the final score to be, but you're envisioning actually a little more than I am what's going to happen in the fourth quarter. So that's an interesting perspective. Let's leave this on another useful note here for the people here. A tip for Super Bowl Sunday, something that I found out last year, and this is a completely unpaid endorsement here for this product. But I happened to find last year when I went to the Super Bowl party that I annually go to, just sheer dumb luck, picking up at the store Edwards brand Boston cream pie and let the thing defrost till about halftime. Holy crap, Mike. Not only had I hardly ever tasted anything so good, neither had anybody at this party also here. So if you want to be getting put over like a mofo by everybody at your Super Bowl party, Edwards Boston cream pie.
Not Braylon Edwards?
No, not that. Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Boston cream pie.
I am, too. And I was just, like, in a vacuum. I was like, oh, I like Boston cream pie. I'll grab this. I had, like, no idea it was, like, that good. I don't know what they're putting in. If it were heroin or oxy or something like that, I suppose it would have manifested itself on me in the last year. So I'm guessing it's all natural ingredients. But, oh, it was so good, Mike.
I'm going to remember that.
It was to die for. All right, thanks a lot. Mike Ptak, Rick Morris, breaking down the Super Bowl. Enjoy your Super Bowl Sunday, everybody.